Brooklands Radio Surrey News Review for Friday the 22nd of September. A look at the week's local news in Surrey. I'm Graham Laycock, and with me at the Surrey Advertiser News Desk is content editor Oliver Florence to discuss this week's local news stories. And some of the top stories in Surrey this week: terror raids, residents given 1 minute to evacuate, a big rise in new housing fear as government looks to change the rules, and Surrey uncovers mental health impact of the Waterloo Works. All these stories and more as I'm joined by Oliver this afternoon. Hello, Oliver.
Good afternoon, Graham. How are you today?
Very well, and good to have you along. Perhaps we can just start with the first top story, which of course hit the national and international headlines this week, about the terror raids going on in Sunbury and Stanwell.
Yes, as you say, it's been an international story really this week, the big news of the week. Just to obviously recap, the week on from the explosion now in West London, on the London Underground there at Parsons Green, when a bomb went off on a tube train in the morning rush hour last Friday. Luckily, nobody was seriously hurt, but obviously since then there's been a huge police investigation to try and track down who did this. And as you say, yes, Surrey has been at the centre of the investigation this week, with searches at homes in both Sunbury and Stanwell. Police first raided a house in Sunbury on Saturday, I believe, and then similarly in Stanwell on Sunday. I won't go into, obviously, the details of the investigation, just to say six people have been arrested. Two have now been released with no further action. But we've just tried to focus on the impact on the community this week in the paper and online. As the headline suggests, a lot of people were told to get out of their homes straight away. At the site in Sunbury, a huge police cordon has gone up where they're searching a home there. We believe but the home there does belong to Penelope and Ronald Jones, who are well known in the area for fostering children and families. There's obviously no suggestion that they're involved in any wrongdoing. The leader of Belthorn Borough Council, Councillor Ian Harvey, he's one of the people we've spoken to. He says they're very well respected locally and praise all the good work that they've done. And we've spoken to several other people about the impact that the police investigation around there is having.
Indeed, yes, and we do feel so sorry for that couple who've done such great work with fostering over the years and got recognised by Her Majesty the Queen, didn't they, as well?
They did, yes. I think they were appointed MBEs back in 2009, so it's obviously a very difficult time for them going through all this, the search of their home there. But the community seems to have banded around really well, actually. It's a really stoic community down there, and community leaders are really pleased. We've got quotes from Police and Crime Commissioner David Munro. I think he's visited, praised the community and what the police are doing down there. So
yes.
Hopefully, obviously, the police need to carry out this investigation, get to the bottom of things, that the community carries on as normal.
Yes, indeed. Of course, when it's first the first house in Sunbury, over 100 residents, I think, had to be evacuated, didn't they, and spent the evening in various other places.
Yeah, I think they were moved along to Staines Rugby Club and a community centre as well. There was quite a big cordon there, actually. I don't know if you've seen pictures of it. We've got a picture on the front of our Runnymede and Spelthorn edition, like a big metal barrier across the road.
Yes, I saw those pictures, yes. I believe I read they've now gone, but there are still police guarding the location.
Yeah, the big cordon's gone, but I think police are still on the scene and searching the location in Sunbury.
Yeah, okay, so yes, and quite shocking, really. This happened in our midst. One of our presenters, in fact, told me that the video of that person walking along with a little bag in Sunbury was only about two streets away from where he lives, so does bring it home to you, doesn't it?
It does, really, yeah. We've had so many terrible incidents over the summer, but this one really close to home, and it does, as you say, bring it home that, well, how awful this is.
Yeah. Now, big rise in new housing fear as the government looks to change the rules. We continue to get these issues, don't we, over housing targets?
We certainly do, yes. The issue of housing and new homes and quite where to build them in Surrey never quite seems to be too far away, does it, from the news? This latest story actually focuses on comments on the Campaign to Protect Rural England. They're responding to the latest government proposals on how they're going to calculate just how many homes each borough and district in the county needs. So we produced a handy table on the latest proposals. It seems that some areas such as Elmbridge and Runnymede, under the new way that the government would calculate how many homes are needed, the number of homes needed to be built every year would be up around 30% in some cases. So just to look at Elmbridge, currently they believe around 474 homes would be needed a year. This would go up to 600, more than 600 under the government's new scheme. So the Campaign for Rural England have been looking at these proposals, and they're not particularly happy with them. They kind of think it's based on a flawed assumption that if you build more homes, the price of homes will go down and affordability will increase, and they don't think this is true. So they're obviously going to respond to the government, and everyone else can have their say as well going forward.
Indeed, and I guess even whether or not it has an impact on house prices, we know we're terribly short of housing.
We are. It's the old question again, isn't it? We're obviously very short of housing. Youngsters, they often can't afford to move out of their homes and stay in the local area around Surrey. So we obviously do need more housing. The government does say that this new way of doing things would give greater discretion to the boroughs and districts about over where exactly the homes should be built. So they do see it as a benefit. But as I say, there's a chance for people to comment on what they're doing. And I think they've got until November to come forward.
Right, well, I'm sure you'll be following on this controversy in the Surrey
Definitely.
Advertiser. Yeah. And we're moving on to hands off the Greenbelt land.
Yeah, more housing, I'm afraid. Another story about housing and where it should be built. More particularly, this refers to Wisley Airfield. I'm sure a lot of listeners will be aware of the application that went in some time ago to build around 2,000 new homes on the former airfield site in Wisley. It's quite a major site, really. It's between, I suppose, Guildford. It's in Guildford Borough, but it kind of sandwiches Elmbridge and Woking as well.
Yes, yes. And I have actually been on the site 3 years ago.
Okay.
Bus Museum, when it used to be at Cobham, used to have their annual open day there. I remember one windswept, rain-soaked day on this very large old runway there that's still there.
There is,
huge lump of concrete.
Yeah.
There's farming all around, though.
Yes, I think so. The plan would be to build 2,000 new homes all around there. The proposal was actually rejected by Guildford Borough Council last year, in April last year. And now it's gone to appeal, which a lot of these big developments seem to do. So an inspector has been sitting this week at the Von Arno Theatre in Guildford. We've got a big picture inside the newspaper this week of a lot of people gathered outside with their placards. So they're all still obviously opposed to this development. And the inspector's going to take the next 4 weeks or so to go through some of the arguments and decide whether to overturn the council's decision not to allow this development.
Right, yes, a difficult decision, but I know a lot of the issues were about traffic and access to and from this new village and the infrastructure and impact on surrounding areas.
Yes, exactly. Traffic and access is always a big issue when you have any sort of proposal about new homes. Guildford Borough Council have this week been putting their arguments to the inspector. They've so far been focusing on the effect it will have on the Greenbelt, really. It's obviously very close to the village of Ockham, and right on the edge of the Greenbelt, that village is. And if it was accepted, it would kind of swamp the urban area, I think, turn it into more of an urban than rural area. So they're very concerned about that, and that was one of the reasons why they rejected the application in the first place.
Right. Now, Surrey uncovers a mental health impact of the Waterloo Railway Works. I hadn't thought of this one.
Yeah, it's a few weeks on now, isn't it, from the huge upgrade project that lasted a month or so throughout August to upgrade Waterloo Station. They're extending the platforms, I think, to try and increase capacity for commuters in and out of London. It's obviously a very busy line. So we decided to do a bit of a survey of our readers online to find out what the true impact of all these upgrade works was, really. So around 40% of the people that responded to us online, that they seem to have an increased amount of stress levels and fatigue and anxiety attacks from the 3 weeks of disruption. So it really had quite a huge impact on them. So we've asked them several questions. We've got quite a lot of comments from different readers on their experiences and tried to pull it all together in a survey.
Right, yes, interesting that indeed. But at least now the extra 30% capacity is there, though they're still doing a lot of work at the weekend, so there's still more going on outside
exactly,
of the midweek
yeah.
and making it difficult
think,
then.
Yeah, I don't think the disruption is over. And I mean, we've obviously had the new train company come in now. Southwestern Railways taken over from Southwest Trains, and a lot of people haven't really seen much improvement from the disruption of earlier this summer.
No, I know they're now just getting delivery of the new extra trains coming in for the Windsor line, which will then begin to create the extra capacity, but it's going to be a little while, yeah. And we've been plagued, unfortunately, after the blockade with a lot of signalling problems afterwards as well. So
yeah, there have been a lot of signalling problems, as you say. It seems to be every day or so there's been some sort of problem with
the
train.
So not easy stuff.
No, but hopefully things will improve soon.
Yes, indeed. Now, positive news here about the new sports hub up and running.
Yeah, it's been 7 years or so in the making, probably. It's probably been talked about maybe even a bit longer than that.
Yes.
This is the new sports hub in Walton, down by the Excel Centre, down there by the river. As I say, there's been a lot of debate about it over the years, but it's finally here. And we had the official opening of the hub on, I think it was Thursday last week, and there was an open day on Sunday for people to go and have a look around. So it really is a good facility. There has been a lot of controversy. I think in particular, Walton and Hersham Football Club, who are one of the clubs that will be moving in there, they weren't particularly keen on it early on. But their chairman, Alan Smith, has said this week that they're now fully behind it. Sad to leave their former home in Stomp-on-Lane, but they're now committed to the hub and playing a part in its future success.
Yes, and I think it's Walton Casuals are the other main team that moved there, isn't it?
Yeah, Walton Casuals already played down by the Leisure Centre down there, so they've got a nice new ground down there. They've already had their first match there, I think, and Walton and Hersham will be moving in shortly after their last game at Stomp-on-Lane last week. Hopefully, everyone can put the controversy behind them now and make a success of it.
Indeed. The next issue, I guess, is the redevelopment of the Stomp-on-Lane site. Well, that'll be for
another
day.
That's the next one for another day. We won't go into that now.
Anyway, keeping on a sporting theme, Woking cooking now on gas after the Sutton win.
Yeah, Woking are doing really well at the moment. They've had a really good start to the season, and they managed to beat the league leaders Sutton 2-0 at home on Saturday. And they're now just 2 points off the top of the National League. So we've got a nice piece with their new manager, Anthony Limbrick, who took over from Gary Hill in the summer. He's highlighting their home form, really, which has been the key this season. They've won 5 out of 6 at home, which has really been a boost for them, pushed them up the table. And he's just highlighted what's been going well for them, really, ahead of their trip to AFC Fylde tomorrow. So good luck to them there.
Fingers crossed for the Cards then. Yeah, indeed. Now, finally, we've got the changing face of the Surrey Advertiser. You're going compact, or as some people would prefer to call it, tabloid.
They would, yes, we are. It's been 150-odd years or so, but the paper out today in the shops is the last ever broadsheet edition of the Surrey Advertiser. So,
it's one to keep, isn't it?
It is one to keep. You should go out and buy it, a souvenir copy. So we've got a nice piece in the paper this week just explaining what we're doing. We'll still have all the local editions, the 6 editions, full of local news, lots of different news pages. We just think it's going to be a bit easier for people to read when they're on the train over breakfast in the morning. It's still the same team, all the local news, as I say.
Right, so you're not shrinking the reporters as well, then?
We're not shrinking the reporters at all, no. We've got a lot of good new reporters coming in as well, so everyone will be able to keep up to date with all their local news across Surrey.
And I can remember a few years ago when the old Surrey Herald was doing this, going from broadsheet to compact as well. So you've seen this twice in your life.
There's been a lot of changes in local news, obviously. But it's interesting, actually, in our piece today, we say Surrey Advertiser was originally a compact, really small paper.
Oh, was it?
It was indeed, yeah. Of course, in the early days, people might remember, papers started kind of just with adverts on the front.
Yes.
And not a lot of news. And then we decided to expand it. put more news in it, and now here we are again going back to Compact. So kind of a return to the roots of the Surrey Advertiser.
And I know I understand why it was called the Surrey Advertiser.
Exactly, yes. A lot of papers that kind of have advertising names, don't they? And it all stems back to when they were mainly adverts.
Right. Well, that's not the only change, is it? Because you're leaving.
I am, yes, yes. Sadly, this is my last day on the Surrey Advertiser. I've done around 10 years on the paper. I've really enjoyed myself covering all the local news. It's been a real privilege to have a job like this. It's not really a real job. Really enjoyable. Every day is different. A real privilege to bring the news to everyone. But it's time to move on. I'm going to work at the House of Commons doing press there. So a really exciting time.
I'm going to say, what a time to be going to the House of Commons with Brexit and everything else going on.
Certainly, yeah. Yeah, it's a high-profile place to be at the moment, keeping an eye on things.
So we look forward to your press releases and statements then from the House of Commons.
Thank you, Graham.
So you'll be reflecting really what the House of Commons is doing in that sense.
Yes, yeah, it's obviously a really important time examining what the government's up to and everything. So it's a really important place to be at the moment. So it will be a good new challenge, but I shall miss coming on Brooklyn's radio. So thank you for having me over the years.
Well, I tell you what, you're welcome back anytime. We'd love to have you back at some point just to talk about your experiences at the House of Commons.
Good.
Would you like to come and do that?
Yeah.
And can I just, on behalf of everybody here at Brooklyn's Radio and all the listeners, thank you so much for all your support and dedication to the News Review, which we've been doing for many, many years with you. So we really thank you for that.
Thank you, and it'll continue next week with all our good new reporters.
Right, well, we wish you every success in your future role at the House of Commons, and we look forward to talking to you again at some point.
Thanks, Graham, that's really kind.
Bye, Oliver.
Thanks, bye.
This has been Brooklyn's Radio News Review with Graham Laycock, and from the Surrey Advertiser for the last time, Oliver Frons. And you can hear the Surrey News Review every Friday at 1 p.m. and 7 p.m. on Brooklyn's Radio. It's compiled by the Surrey Advertiser, and you can keep up to date at getsurrey.co.uk.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, why not keep up to date with the Sound of Surrey by listening live at brooklandsradio.co.uk or through our free mobile app.